Well, welcome to Council of Public Affairs. Welcome to today's session. I'm Kathy Coates, the moderator for the time together today. Want to first of all thank our sponsors. First of all, the University of Lethbridge, the Lethbridge Herald, Erickson's, and of course Shaw Cable. Just a couple of housekeeping pieces before we get to the event today. First of all, the cost of the session is $8, and that includes your lunch. So if you can put your $8 in the basket there, and if someone at your table can count the money and then make sure it adds up to how many people are there, we'd appreciate that. We are going to listen to our speaker for about half an hour and then take time for lunch and table conversation, and then reconvene around between 5 to 1 and 1 o'clock for questions and answers. So I'm really glad you're here, and we're glad for all the people who are watching at Shaw Cable. So I want to Bob Anderson has irritated me by going like this, like he has something important to say. Today's speaker is Debbie Middleton Hoke. 2 years ago, Debbie retired as an inspector with the Calgary Police Service after 25 years of service. During her police career, she worked primarily in the areas of crimes against persons, and she'll probably define that a little more clearly to us, particularly issues around child abuse, domestic violence, prostitution, and robbery. So after she retired and moved to Lethbridge, her years of experience were put to use as she worked in the area of domestic violence here in Lethbridge as part of the domestic violence response team and the Sexual Violence Action Committee. So a big piece of her work has been looking at and evaluating the resources available here in Lethbridge, and that's mostly what she's going to speak about today. So, Debbie. Good afternoon, everybody. It's a little chilly out there, and I've just come back from 5 weeks in Portugal and Spain, so I'm a little jet-lagged, and I'm a little disappointed that I haven't come down to the snow, so if I sound like I wander off a little bit, please have patience with me, because I was up at 3 o'clock this morning with my caffeine headache, wondering, where's my next coffee blanco or something. Anyway, I'm very pleased to be here today. It's thrilled to be asked to speak in public about a subject that I'm very passionate about, and I want to thank you for having me here.
Can you raise the volume? Just talk a little louder?
A little bit louder?
Or bring it closer.
Or a little closer to the microphone.
Okay. All right. How's that? Is everybody there? Okay. I'll just bring that down a bit then. As you get over 50, you have to start worrying about the glasses and the off and on. So if I'm doing it, please bear with me. Anyway, it was a pleasure to be asked here today. I am very interested in this subject, and I've spent the last year researching this subject and what is happening here in Lethbridge. So I'm going to start off with am I still going?
It's the mic. Stay real close to the mic.
Yeah. Okay. I'll move my notes up. How fast? Okay. Let's do that. Let's get rid of the glasses. Let's move up the notes. Let's bring down the voices. Let's get at it. Okay. Alberta has the highest reported incidence of family violence in the country. Isn't that something, eh? And so it's very fortuitous that you've asked me to speak today, because November is Prevention of Family Violence Month, and we, the provincial government, kicked off a campaign yesterday, and to recognize that there's things that we need to be doing. And their theme this year is End the Silence, Stop the Violence, which I think is very appropriate. After my last year of studying what is happening in our community, I think it's something that we need to be aware of. We need to speak out about this issue. So my purpose here today is to encourage you to end the silence and to understand. I understand that the purpose of your little group is to meet and debate issues of concern. So I think that what I have planned today should meet that criteria. Now, what I'm about to talk about may be graphic. It may be offensive to some. and it may not be politically correct, but I'm not attached to any agency, so I can be politically correct. And that gives me a whole bunch of freedom. But I assure you that I speak today from my heart, because this is a topic that I am passionate about. And in order to create change, we need passion. So my goal here today is to create some change. Maybe just a small change in your attitude, or maybe just a small change in your information. But my goal here is to create change.
Speak up.
You have to speak up.
And you are a tough audience. I have never been told that I have had to speak up before. All right, so.
I can't have yelling into the mic though, people, because instead of my audio, nuts for TV. I can hear a bit back there. I don't know what the problem is, but.
Okay. When it comes time to speaking about domestic violence, we need change. We need change in public attitude. We need change in legislation. We need change in public awareness and education. And we need change in support and government funding. For clarification, I want to state that throughout my presentation, I will often be referring to victims of domestic violence as women and children. This does not mean that men are not victims. They are. But not to the greater volumes that women are and children are. Violence experienced by women tends to be more severe and more often repeated than the violence directed at men. So please do not be offended if my presentation is not male-focused or it may seem like I'm biased. I'm not. I understand the issue. But the issue is about victimization, and more often in our community, the victims are male, or pardon me, the victims are female, women and children. I'm going to give you a legal definition of what domestic violence is according to legislation, and I'm going to present some stats and research giving you, so give you kind of a clear idea of what the issue is about. But then I'm going to touch on what I think is a major issue in our society, and what maybe we can do about it, how we can create that change. But before I begin, I want to read you an article written on October 15th, that's 2 weeks ago, while I was away in Portugal, from the Montreal Gazette. Orange police tape cordoned off a white brick bungalow in a quiet West End area from a domestic dispute yesterday, left a woman and two children dead. A 41-year-old man was rushed to hospital, and police later said he was in extremely grave condition. It appears to be a triple murder followed an attempted suicide, said the police spokesperson. A friend of the family called 911 after becoming concerned when no one answered the door. Police discovered the grisly silence shortly before noon. As the officers arrived on the scene, they entered the premises and they found the victims in their respective bedrooms. The man who was believed was the father, was still alive. The woman, 40, and two sisters, 10 and 17, were pronounced dead at the scene. After obtaining a search warrant, investigators found a handgun in the house, which they believe was the weapon used in the killings. Neighbors said the sisters enjoyed tennis and ballet, and the father is a psychologist. "I never knew anything was really wrong," said Emma, the 14-year-old next door. "The kids were wonderful," said Andrea Martin, who had lived in the neighborhood for 18 years. "The younger daughter was a nice little angel. She was so beautiful, so full of energy, always smiling." That incident happened 2 weeks ago. And often we think, does the media blow this kind of incident out of proportion? I can tell you by attending these kind of scenes as my career as a police officer, that is exactly what it is like. You walk into a home, you find blood, you find a weapon, you find all the telltale signs of a happy family until you open up the door and you see the victims lying there. And as a police officer, once you've seen a scene like that, you never forget it. So no, the media does not
glamorize these scenes. This is what it is real. This is very real to me, and I'm very passionate about it, as you can tell. How do you explain to children out of school that their roommate is their roommate is dead, when she was laughing and participating in ballet, participating in the soccer activities just 24 hours before? So what am I talking about? All healthy relationships have disagreements. I don't bet you there isn't anyone in this room that's involved in an intimate relationship that hasn't had their fair share of arguments. You know, we're not perfect. You know, we disagree. But there are normal types of disagreements. They're not involved with abuse. And when I refer to domestic violence, I'm going to refer to you as in the legal description. Domestic violence is any use of physical or sexual force, actual or threatened, in an intimate relationship. It may include a single act of violence or a number of acts forming a pattern of abuse through the use of assaultive or controlling behavior. That pattern can include physical abuse, emotional abuse, psychological abuse, sexual abuse, financial abuse, threats to harm children, threats to harm family members, even threats to harm the pet or the property. This is what abusers do to gain control, because it is about power and control.
A lot.
So what do I talk about when we talk about domestic abuse? We're talking about intimate relationships. And an intimate relationship is defined between opposite sex or same-sex partners that are either in a current or former dating relationship, common law relationship, married relationship. Domestic violence is often referred to as domestic abuse, domestic assault, domestic conflict, spousal abuse, spousal assault, battering, relationship abuse, or family violence. But no matter what you call it, someone is being victimized, usually the woman, usually the children, and sometimes the results are death. So let's look at statistically. I mean, this isn't just a problem that is local. This is a problem that is provincial. This is a problem that is national. This is a problem that is international. This is a problem worldwide. Why are women and children dying at the hands of their loved ones? Someone who's supposed to love them is murdering these people. In Canada, the stats say that 3 in 10 women experience violence in their relationship. In 2002, approximately 1/4 of all violent crime victims were also family violence victims, and 62% of individuals were abused by spouses. Rates of spousal abuse are highest among 15 to 24-year-olds, young people. However, spousal homicide is higher in the over 40 age group. In 2003, exposure to domestic violence was the second most common form, 28%, of sustained child malnutrition in Canada. In Canada, 21% of women abused by a partner were assaulted during pregnancy, with 40% reporting that the abuse began during pregnancy. So what is it about when we fall in love and have children that causes this change? In 2001, Alberta police responded to more than 6,000 spousal abuse incidences in which charges over 67% of the time. We are trying to address this issue through the courts. Alberta has the highest rate of reported family violence in Canada and leads the country in domestic assault, homicide, suicide, and stalking. Some studies show that as many as 80% of Aboriginal women have been abused by a partner in their lifetime. To give you a little bit of local stats, Lethbridge police respond to about 400 domestic violence calls a month. Last year, they laid charges in about 437 charges that went before the courts. So not all the responses lie in charges, but you're talking about the majority of the time when they respond to a call on attacks against a person. It is a domestic violence call. But the most significant stat to me of all of this is this. And in 2003, 78 persons were killed by their spouse in Canada. 78 people died. 64 were female, 14 were male. A history of family violence was present in 6 out of the 10 spousal homicides. And as well, in 2003, there were 59 homicides against children. Slightly more than half of those homicides were committed by a family member. To me, that is what this issue is about. We are losing women and children, and we don't need to be, because there is opportunity to speak up. There's opportunity to interject. There's opportunity to help the systems, help these people who are in so much trouble. So, I'm going to read you another story, because I think it brings home the point that I am trying to make. Melissa McDonald was 32, looked after 18-month-old children for a living, and for the first time in 5 years thought she was finally free of an abusive relationship. Yesterday, she became the fourth person in 3 days in Montreal. So this was October 17th, that died at the hands of a man who was armed and despondent over a failed relationship. The alleged assailant was shot by Montreal police and is in stable condition in the hospital. McDonald's friends and colleagues at the Notre Dame de Grace daycare, where she worked, and had urged her repeatedly to contact police about her boyfriend. She told friends that there had been threats, including death threats. She told him that he had hit her, that she was afraid that telling the police would only make matters worse. So she didn't, nor did anybody else. She did, however, find the courage to break up with him after about 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, a man believed to be her ex-boyfriend, identified by her friends only as Christopher, about 40, came to her apartment in the basement of a duplex on Côte Saint-Luc Road and stabbed her several times. She was pronounced dead at the arrival of the Montreal General Hospital. Police confirmed her identity yesterday evening after reaching her family, who lived outside of Montreal. So that is 3 people that have died in 3 days in one city in Canada. And this is an issue that isn't just in Montreal, just isn't in the big cities. It is happening all over the place. When I was in grade 12, my first experience with domestic violence was this. A young girl who was about 12 years old, I was 18, so the young girl was 12 years old. She rode on her bus every day. She was a quiet little thing. She had long, dark hair. I remember her, but the reason I remember her is this. One day she didn't get on the bus. And that night when I came home from school, I lived in small town Alberta, I found out the reason she didn't get on the bus is because she was shot in the back while she was running away from her father, who had killed her mother. You know, did that scar me? You bet it did. Maybe it's why I went into policing. Maybe it's why I have a passion for children. Maybe that's why I spent a large part of my career trying to help children that were being abused. This stuff is heavy stuff, and it's a tough topic to talk about before we're about to eat. But you asked me here today because you want to know what are the issues. What are the issues in our community? Domestic violence is an issue in our community. Between 1994 and 2003, 630 women were murdered by their male spouses in Canada. So you're talking 10 years, 630 women were killed. That's an average of 63 women a year lose their life because of a failed relationship. So what are we doing about it? You know, something has finally come. You know, 30 years ago when I started in policing, nobody talked about domestic violence. We would respond and no one would talk to us. It was a private matter. It was a family matter. And it hasn't been until recently, until the end of my career, when I started in the last part of my career, that it became such an issue because police were not responding properly. They weren't doing proper investigations. We weren't helping the victims. You know, they say, the stats say that 1 in 10 women report. So if we have 630 women that have died and they've reported, imagine how many women are out there that are living in silence, living in fear, living in hell. In the past 8 years, after public outcry from women's groups, from politicians, from police departments, from hospitals, about yet another woman being killed by her partner, there have been 3 major fatality inquiries that have really changed and helped us move towards change in dealing with this issue. One was the May Ills inquiry in Ontario in 1998. This is when women really started to speak up and say, enough's enough. This woman her estranged husband was separated. And while he was separated and before the courts on assault, he had the opportunity to purchase a gun, and then he went back and he shot her. This resulted in a lot of the legislative change and the gun registration change. So if you wonder about gun registration, I'm all for gun registration because it helps save lives. The Hadley inquiry in Ontario 2002, another married couple estranged, and he came back, and he, when there was no hope of reconciliation, committed a murder-suicide. The FET inquiry, in Red Deer, that has been so much in the papers these days, with Red Deer RCMP being sued for their inappropriate response. That was in Alberta 2005. Now, these inquiries all have something in common. They've identified that domestic violence is a crime that is different from all other crimes in 2 ways. One, the likelihood of repeat violence is common and at most times predictable. And 2, the victim is known in advance. People know that this is happening. They just don't speak up about it. And that's why the campaign is End the Silence. With this knowledge, society has an opportunity to use its expertise, its resources, updated technology to prevent this type of crime, with the ultimate goal of a safer environment and the saving of lives. These inquiries resulted in legislative change that still needs more change. Police were highly criticized for improper investigations and improper response and having the wrong attitude. So there's measures going on to train the police in proper response, to recognize the symbols, to not look at an isolated incident, but look at the whole history of what is happening in the family. So we need more training. We need more resources when it comes time to that. It also looks at how is social services and what opportunities and what legislative change is available for people who respond. It is now law that any person who knows, such as your doctors, your dentists, your teachers, they must report when they've seen damage to a child because of physical abuse or domestic violence or sexual abuse. If they have a disclosure, they must report. Now that is under the Family Protection Act. That allows us to have some leeway in investigating these things. But if a spouse does not have any children, there is no legislation for doctors or dentists or psychologists to report the incident. It does not have to be reported under. Which is very frustrating when you think about these women who need medical help and hands are tied because of Freedom of Information Act. What we need, overlooking our community, and I'm going to start going back to Lethbridge now. We'll talk a little bit about Lethbridge because I've looked at Lethbridge. We have some absolutely fabulous organizations in this community that are working hard, and but they also have to work in isolation and in silos because of their legislation and their government ministry. But they are working hard to help people and work together to create a collaboration. It's difficult, though, because funding is so short. It's difficult, though, because there's high burnout with their workers. The people that respond to these kind of offenses get burned out. It's difficult, though, because there's never enough resources and there's always more demand than there is supply. To give you an example, in 1975, there's 18 shelters in Alberta. In 2005, there's 543 shelters in operation in Canada. Here in Lethbridge, last year alone, the YWCA helped approximately 1,000 women. But they also had to turn away 700 women and children because there wasn't enough room for their facility. Now, I can go on and on and on, but I've been given the 5 minute sign, and I could go on. I haven't even touched the depth of this subject, but we've got time limitations, and I know that. So I'm going to conclude with this final thing. Family violence is an issue. We know it's an issue. These crimes are predictable. These crimes are preventable. We need the resources. We need the funding to help these people that are in need. Do I think the problem is going to get better? No, I don't. I don't think it is, because we are having an increase in immigration to our communities to help us with our shortage of workers and our economical strife. Now imagine when you're isolated and you're in a new country and you don't speak the language, and where do you go and what do? When you have a situation, you come back from a cultural background that allows it over in your country, but here in Canada it's against the law. You don't have any money, you have no housing, you have no skill. So is it an issue? You bet it's an issue. I could go on and on and tell you more of the issues, but I think I've touched enough that will create some great conversation after we eat. I apologize for some of the stories that I've told you, but these stories are real. I've seen these stories. I've lived these stories. I've had to help my peers survive after being at the scene of a grisly murder of children and a spouse. So I thank you for letting me be here today. I'm telling you that this problem is real, and we need to end the silence. I call for the campaign. Get on your computers, get on your internet, support family violence prevention, and see what's out there and know what to do. To conclude, the family in Montreal, the two young girls who went to ballet, and their mother, the neighbors said the day before this man was acting like a madman, and nobody called the police. His friend received an email from him saying, "I'm not going to be in this world much longer," and he did nothing until the next day. The woman who was the daycare worker, all her friends knew that she lived in fear, and nobody called. You need to speak up. The signs are out there. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Thank you to Debbie, and it was a break for lunch, and I hope you enjoy your lunch, and we'll gather back around for 1 o'clock for questions and answers. And if you haven't put your money in the basket, please do so.